It's time for our spotlight on KRWC, the third Wednesday of each month. We highlight happenings with the Wright County Board of Commissioners, and we talk with the commissioners on a rotating basis. Commissioner Jeannie Holland joins us for our spotlight here in the month of March. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back with us. Lean in real good and close there so we can hear you well. And nice to talk to you again. The board has been busy, as always.
Very busy, and we just got word that we are the largest growing county in the state. So, of course, you know I'm I represent Albertville and Otsego, and Otsego is one of the fastest growing cities in our county, and we're doing a lot of road projects out there. We got one coming up on 37, some roundabouts, and getting ready for Costco. We just got the word in that we get Costco, which is on the very edge of Otsego, but primarily with an Albertville address right off the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so very exciting news. Everybody in Albertville and Otsego and St. Michael are quite excited to have that addition. And we're also going to be working on 94 this summer from Albertville to Monticello. So a lot of road improvements. But, yeah, Otsego is really growing.
Talk about that population boom. We've been talking about this really with you and other commissioners for several years now, and this has been kind of ongoing. I think what I took away from the most recent release on that is the fact that doesn't seem to be slowing down. As a matter of fact, it may be accelerating.
Yeah. We thought the interest rates going up would slow down housing a little bit, but the demand for housing is still high. Otsego's really seeing it, and Otsego now too is looking at a fire department. They're going to be building. They have the land, and they're going to be building coming up here soon to accommodate that growth. Right now, they have Albertville, Rogers, and Elk River that respond to their fires, and it's just getting to be too much for the neighboring departments. So they're on track to having that start up here soon. Next week they have a public hearing, and but yeah, it's funny because I used to just be a township with, you know, just random houses, and every time I go through I see another big development that has gone in, and it's crazy how fast that's growing.
And I've been, you know, in my particular role here throughout the whole thing, and I can remember talking about Otsego back in its township days, and not that it was ever, you know, out in the woods or anything. It always had the same kinds of things running through it, the freeway access, the, you know, the river and everything else. The location is the same, but it's just that the sprawl from the metro finally caught up to it, and they decided, hey, this is a nice spot here, and boom.
Yeah, a lot of them are really attracted to the fact that they can get out on County Road 10 and get to Anoka, or they can get to 94 and they can work in the cities and have the way of life of Wright County, cheaper taxes, and they want good schools for their kids, and Rogers and Elk River School Districts is doing that for them. And so they are going to need to build a high school soon. They have a elementary and a middle school, but they don't have a high school yet. So that's in the works right now.
And their students go to Rogers or Elk River?
Correct.
Or both Rogers?
Yeah. And then I heard that Rogers is actually contemplating closing one of their schools because they're not really seeing any growth in the Elk River area of their district. It's all happening in the outskirts. Rogers is really growing. Otsego's growing. Zimmerman's growing. So kind of a weird dynamic, but good to have.
Yeah. And now from the county's perspective, and, you know, in this case, the county board's perspective, and you've got, you know, lots of people that are eyeballing this whole situation for you, and I'm sure you get lots of input from the individual cities themselves, and because this is all kind of a new booming area that has benefits, but it also has some, you know, potential snags along the way too.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And I feel like we're just playing catch up. The city of Otsego and the county, although I do have to say our highway department is very proactive. There's a lot of nice roads. They've been keeping it up. They're this summer going to be putting in a roundabout by 39 and 19, which also, you know, helps the Monticello people out. That's a snaggy road right now. So they're keeping up. They're keeping a good eye on the progress. And then with Albertville and 94, after that project's done, because we're still waiting to hear if they're going to get a road instead of going through the light at 19, they want a road to just access on, or like a slip lane, so that people don't have to go through that light to stay on the freeway, especially now with Costco. But then the county's going to come through and redo 19 in that general area, because there's a lot of load on there. But they want to see first how the freeway takes, you know, how that project goes. And they've pretty much have a good idea now from MnDOT. They've been going back and forth. I don't know if you saw the news, but Albertville put a halt to it because they wanted some things. It made the Star and Tribune that they're not going to sign on to it until they got the concessions they wanted from MnDOT. And so MnDOT's been very good about working with them, and now we're going forward. So mm-hmm. That's nice.
And we're talking about the development of that two additional lanes, making it six lanes all the way through there.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And part of it is the bridge, because they're going to have to widen the bridge over 19. And so they did get that concession. It's a spendy part of the road, but it's needed, because the load on that road is quite heavy. So,
well, and it seems like it's one of those situations where if they're going to bother to do the, you know, extra work on the freeway lanes themselves, you might just as well do this now, because you're going to have to do it sooner or later anyway.
Correct. And they don't want, you know, the burden to be on the county or the city.
Right.
So, yeah, so that we're glad that's behind us now. That was a pretty pretty hard thing for the Albertville City Council to have to wade through. But, yeah, we're on progress now to start this spring. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of impact on that. I think it's just starting the process,
right.
Thankfully, because 169 and Elk River is having a huge overpass by Walmart that's going to affect 169 and 10 and Otsego, and, you know, people going up north, and then the bridge in Monticello will also impede traffic. So if 94 was in the midst of construction, it'd be really a mess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's going to be a lot of orange cones this summer. We just talked just last week with the Monticello City Administrator, Rachel Leonard was in, and we talked quite a bit about that project and others. They just had a meeting there last night about that with residents, and MnDOT was involved. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those deals where along with the growth and the traffic and everything else, you have to have everything in place in order to handle it. Do you have lots of discussions, or is there a discussion between some of the cities and or townships that you represent and the county regarding infrastructure, or is that pretty much something they kind of handle on their own as far as, you know, water, sewer, everything else?
They pretty much handle it on their own. I don't have a township. I'm the only commissioner that does not have a township.
Mm-hmm.
And the cities really work. Albertville and Otsego really work well together, along with St. Michael. They know the growth. And our highway department really is very good about helping them out as well. And I and Albertville's pretty much coming. They have a couple projects coming up, but they're done with residential. They're pretty much all commercial, industrial. So not a whole lot of lots left. And so it's going to be interesting to see. They've had some good planning throughout the years. And then they're really helpful to Otsego just because, you know, that whole Costco thing does impact Albertville the most because it's, you know, right in their backyard, basically. But they've been working well together with them and Costco. And Costco really knows the traffic load, too. It's been really interesting because of, you know, their team, they can tell you exactly where that traffic's going to come from. And I think most of it, 80% of it, is going to come from the freeway. And they hope it's going to alleviate some of the burden on Maple Grove and St. Louis Park, actually, because a lot of these people go to work and they go to those Costcos. So they're really hoping. They really wanted to come into Wright County, so they're really happy. They're happy with this site because it's right on the freeway, people going up north. So it's going to be interesting to have.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see in that northeastern corner. We'll just spend one more second on this, and then we'll get on to something else. But we're seeing in your area there and in that northeastern corner kind of that same thing that I think you mentioned Maple Grove and some of those other kind of northwestern suburbs went through a number of years ago, where the boundaries as far as where one town stops and another picks up are getting kind of blurry up there.
Yeah, you're so right. And it's interesting because a lot of the people that move into Otsego and Albertville kind of complain about that we don't want to be another Maple Grove, but you can't stop progress. You can't stop farmers from selling their land. And, you know, basically it's an attractive area for people, especially now that we have that portion of 94 into the cities. So widened and easy to use now. So I think that helped, you know, in the growth. But yeah, it's been interesting to see when you look at old pictures of St. Michael and Albertville and Otsego. It's a huge change in just the last 5 years, even.
No question about it. Well, you know, it's one of those situations where companies like that, you mentioned Costco, and there's a bunch of others too, as Otsego looks at, as you mentioned, expanding its school system to potentially build a high school at some point. These are the kind of partners that are going to be a pretty good tax base for them too, so it's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah, that is so true. That's really a nice thing. And Albertville said, you know, even though they don't have the Costco in their town, because they were looking at Albertville, but the attractive part of where Costco is, it is right up against Albertville land that is commercial industrial. So that's where they're going to gain, because they'll get some good units of business there.
Right. Makes them more attractive.
Yeah.
Talking with Jeannie Holland, Wright County Commissioner, on our spotlight here today on KRWC. You and a number of other Wright County representatives were down in St. Paul recently. You had a number of items you discussed there.
Yeah, last week we spent 2 days. It was transportation day, so we went down for that. We talked to our legislators. We talked to, you know, we got to see the governor and talk about, you know, the importance of transportation, especially for us. It's 94 and then 55 and 12. But 55 is gaining some traction right around the Loretto area. So that would be nice to be able to start along that path, because that's a heavy used road. So we talked about that, and then we were meeting with legislators on there's a bill that wants to ban lead shot. And what's concerning for us is the kids in Wright County, that take trap shooting. It's going to double the price for them for the ammo. And then it's also going to, they'd have to buy new guns, which are pricey. We have a lot of kids in Wright County that take trap shooting. In fact, it's the number one growing sport in the nation. And I know St. Michael Albertville, they have 60 kids and there's a waiting list. So you have to try out to get on the trap team. And I know it affects a lot of kids. And the nice part about trap shooting is it's a girl and boy sport. You know, they can go shoulder to shoulder. And so we really talked to a lot of the legislators that are on that bill to say that this would be, you know, detrimental to our kids. So hopefully that doesn't sail through. It would really be a shame if it did. So kind of we're watching that one. We're also watching, there's a housing bill out there that would eliminate the city's planning and zoning aspect because it would basically mandate that anybody can do whatever they want with their property. If they want to have a bunch of cars outside with just a one-car garage or, you know, and neighbors expect that if they move somewhere that they have a kind of a same look or feel. And this would eliminate that. You could have a very tiny house on with a big shed. There's a lot of and the sewer aspect the cities are concerned about because you could grow past the city sewer and water. So all of our cities are very, very anxious that this would pass. It would be really detrimental. So really working hard on making sure that doesn't gain any traction down there. We met with our legislators and really let them know how we feel about that one. And then we have, it's a bonding year. So typically you don't see a lot of bills go through except for bonding bills. But we do have a bonding bill in there for the Wright Tech Center. The Wright Tech Center, I was on that board for 12 years. And they have no way of getting money to do improvements on their buildings or additions because they can't levy. They only get the money from the schools to provide instruction for the kids. And it's such an important school that we have. There were 65 in the state, and now there's one. And we're really lucky that we have the 8 school districts that promote, you know, to their kids. We have waiting lists for all these great programs. And we just need to do some improvements, like the main building that started in 72 needs new wiring. We need some roofing done, and then some minor tweaks. And so that's a $9 million ask. We did have the representatives come in September for a bonding tour, so that's encouraging. And when they were there, they were amazed at our school. So very excited about that. And then the senators came in January, and they too were very impressed. We had the somebody from the Minnesota Department of Education come out, and she wants the governor to come out. So we're really hoping the governor comes out to see what we have. We are so lucky in Wright County to have this school. And, you know, everybody loves to watch that house go up, and you know and a lot of I've been, you know, advocating for this school a long time, and you find so many people that went to that school that really don't want it to go away. So we're really hoping that this makes the bonding bill this year so that they can get some of those improvements done and keep serving our kids.
You know, you think about that building, as you mentioned, dating back to the early 70s, and it's the same kind of thing that many school districts face with their aging buildings. But as you say, the only difference is they can't levy to fix anything.
Right. And they did get way back in when I was on the board, and it was about 2008, I believe, we needed to do some improvements because MnDOT wanted us to take the driveway out of 25. So we needed to move the front door to the back. And as you know, that did happen. And how it came about was they found that we owned a bunch of broadband. And so between us and Howard Lake, we own this broadband that Verizon wanted to buy. So I said we found real estate in the sky. We sold it to them, and we were able to do that project. I said it was a huge blessing at the time, and it has served us well. And then it's quite fun because in the where the front door is now, there's a big area that they made into the heavy machinery equipment program. So it's like a giant sandbox. Yeah. And that is a great new addition to the programming and really fun to see. I talked to the head of the Teamsters, the president, and because he was out when they did the ribbon cutting, and he said, the great part of this is that it's also a co-ed program. He said, he goes, oftentimes our women are better at operating a crane or heavy machinery because he said they're more patient, and he said, and they listen direction well. So
interesting.
Yeah.
It's sad when you mentioned that at one point Minnesota had 65 of these schools, and this is the last one left.
Yes.
And it's amazing because, you know, I mean, we've had discussions on various programs over the years here and remote locations about the fact that, you know, as far as after high school education is concerned, not everybody is necessarily best suited for, you know, the college route. And here we've got kind of a way to work into trades, or not that it's a replacement for trade schools, but it's right. Kind of like an entry level part of it.
Oh, totally. And the nice, you know, when I was on the board for those 12 years, I felt like the shift was throw everybody in college. And I can feel it swinging back now because they're seeing the value. A lot of kids are seeing that I can go to Wright Tech, I can get some credits to go on cosmetology school, they go on auto mechanics. We have great partnerships with Dunwoody and St. Cloud Tech, and oftentimes they walk out of there with an apprenticeship, and they're making money right away. And that, like, it was really interesting when we had the ribbon cutting for the heavy equipment program. A lot of those guys that work for Vite and Rachel and Fanes, they all went to Wright Tech Center. Mm. And they were super excited that, you know, the kids could have this opportunity. And it was really interesting. We had a director out there that actually had all the counselors come in and said, you know, how many kids do you feel graduate from college once you send them into college? And they all said about 65%. And he said, no, it's 25. 25
is
the national average of the kids that actually get a degree from a four-year college.
Wow.
And you know, they come out with a lot of debt, and a lot of kids are seeing that. And so you're right. That is not a one size fit all. We need people in the trades, and they're seeing that need now. So I think the days we're swinging back to where parents are now looking at that option for their kids, which is very exciting.
Jeannie Holland, our guest, Wright County Commissioner, on our spotlight today. We're running out of time here. I wanted to talk with you just briefly. I know you were fairly vocal on the body cam issue for Sheriff's Department. We had a tragic situation just a few weeks ago, an officer-involved fatal shooting. It was one of those situations where you kind of knew that sooner or later, unfortunately, an incident was going to happen, and it has. No body cam footage of it, and there's kind of some holdups there right now.
Yeah, it was very tragic, and it's sad because it, you know, happened in St. Michael, and then the resident was from Albertville. But yeah, it's hard as a deputy to be in that situation. It's dark. And then, you know, not to have the body cams. The dash cam is great, but it doesn't always catch everything. And so since I started as commissioner, that's one of the things. My husband's a retired deputy, and one of the things that we really need to do sooner than later. I always said it's not a matter of if it happens, it's a matter of when, and our when happened. So really pushing the, it's what it is the Oracle is it's a new program that the sheriff's looking at that is still under design. And we keep getting, you know, well, it's going to happen this month. It's going to happen, you know, this month. And so now we're pressing the Oracle company to come to our next board meeting to tell us, like, what are the facts? Because we just keep getting, you know, platitudes and, you know, they're coming. I think it's one of the most important because it's retention. And I think there's a lot of deputies right now that are quitting law enforcement completely, but a lot of them are probably going to go to, you know, they see the body cam as an important tool, and I'd hate to have them leave to other departments that have them. All the counties around us have had them for 10 years. So, you know, Meeker, and we have the money there. So it's, we wanted to make sure that the people know it's not the commissioners. It's the, you know, the holdup is the software design company. So hopefully within the next year, it's really imperative that we get those guys outfitted and safe.
It's another situation where, you know, there's so many fast leaps in technology that I can kind of understand why you want to be cautious about what it is that you jump into technology-wise with this, because things move so fast, you don't want to get into a system and then have it technically outdated in a matter of months.
Yes, and really the it's not the camera so much as the data,
the storage,
and then extracting the storage. Mm-hmm. So if you have an incident and somebody has a data request, they you have to go to the company and then they have to pull it out, which costs money. So on that end, that's where they make their money. And so I can see where they want it to be secure. And there's just a lot of moving pieces. I hope it is what it's, you know, what they're promising it to be, because it does sound like it's going to be a good system for us. So I really hope that, you know, we're outfitted soon.
And it's a situation, interestingly enough, that it seems like what I'm hearing is that nobody's really against it. It's just making the correct decision on which one to go with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and there's we are a unique department, because we don't have a lot of city police departments, and so we have a lot of, you know, like a lot of the Albertville deputies don't necessarily come into Buffalo. They'll go and do the reports at the Albertville Fire Hall. Same thing with Otsego. They kind of stay in the area they are. They come right from their homes and go right to work. So I think that's a unique situation that the sheriff's put into, and he wants it to be more, because we don't have like everybody meet and have, you know, a session before they go out to work. They go right to work. So I think that's the piece where the sheriff is looking at, you know, how can we make it best suited for our big county?
Yeah. It'll be an ongoing situation. We appreciate you sharing info on that. Yeah. Give us a place where people are always welcome to come to the meetings, or they can call you directly?
Yes, for sure. They can come anytime to our meetings. They're always the first and third Tuesday of the month, and they can also see them on YouTube. We tape everyone, and yeah, they can call me or get a hold of me on the website anytime.
Yeah, I'm seeing live too, if they want to, yes, as it's happening, or watch it back.
Yeah, anytime. It's really nice.
Yeah, pretty nice system.
Yeah.
All right, Jeannie, nice to talk with you. Commissioner Jeannie Holland, our guest on today's Spotlight. We look forward to visiting with you and the rest of the commissioners next month.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks. There you have today's Spotlight on KRWC.